Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. You're going to hear two intros today because I did an intro on my other recording, but I forgot. I was like, just wanted to jump into the podcast, so it took 2 seconds. But as always, all that business, follow me. If you can support the show, conspiracyorjustacoincidence.com. I'm at Conspiracy or JC. Follow me on Twitter or Gab. Got a Patreon, all that good stuff. So this is the first episode that I am going to put on YouTube. I know I'm pretty sure the censors won't get me because I'm done politics. So it's just history and that kind of stuff. But the book is Exposing the Expositions by Howie McCoskey. I'm going to have him on the show in a week or two. But so go buy the book if you want to learn everything about it. I've tried to do my best outlining, but I skipped over a few things because after an hour, my voice starts hurting from talking. But check that out there. I'm going to upload it. I don't know if it even works on YouTube. Oh, God. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am your host, Jack Allen. Today, well, first, the business stuff. Follow me on Twitter, at Conspiracy or JAC. If you want to support the show, I got a website, conspiracyorjustacoincidence.com. I'm on Gab, where I'm probably going to post this video. And that's it. Yeah, Conspiracy or JAC, the website. If you leave a review, I'll give you a shout out on the show. Any help to get more play on the show, I would be honored, and I'll read your review. I tried to even constructive criticism, which I just got one last week. And dude, I hear you. He was saying that I get too excited when other people are talking, and I'm sure he's right. He is right. I gotta like maybe mute myself. And sorry for the hair looking like Giorgio, that guy with the that was like saying it's aliens. But that's how I didn't shower this morning, and I just finished my notes on this and wanted to rock this podcast. So. All right. So if you're just listening, I'm going to do my best to describe what I'm talking about. But yeah, so we will, I'll do my best. So what is today's episode about? I just posted on Twitter. If you didn't see it, it's a very, very cool topic. The Expositions, Exposing the Expositions, Ancient Rome in America by Howie McCoskey. Now, Howie, I'm going to get him on the show actually, like soon. He's up in Norway. Very excited about that. But he wrote about the World's Fairs. Now, if you don't know what the World's Fairs are, these huge events all over the world in the late 1800s, 19th century. And if you're watching things like this, were all built in this time. Pretty magnificent stuff. If you're just listening, imagine Washington, D.C. with lake canals, lakes, food vendors on steroids, okay? Huge events, and they're all over the world. And they were temporary, and they were built extremely fast with horses, pickaxes, and shovels. Doesn't sound right, does it? So here we go. Let's get started. Please follow me on Twitter. Please follow me on Gab. Leave a review, and if you want to support the show, if you like what we do, it can help offset some of my book cost. But regardless, just support content creators. It doesn't need to be me. I'm honored if you do, but all these people, I listen to people, I support them. We got to create like our own economy, you know, because the world is just too woke and insane for me anymore. So anyway, my caffeine's falling. Okay, here we go. So the World's Fair. So Chicago is like the first example. Chicago was burned down in 1871, which is a common theme we're going to keep coming across. Then they had the World's Fair in 1893. There was an auditorium that was big as 300,000 people. If you've ever been to a pro football game, I used to go to Penn State games with my family. The biggest crowd there was like 102,000. And that was huge, right? I mean, so loud. This building's in the Chicago World's Fair could hold 300,000 people. And it was and that wasn't the only building. It was built in 2 years. And if you don't know, Chicago is pretty cold in 4 of the months, you know, freezing weather, wind. But yeah, that was no problem for them. They built right through it. So there was expos in NYC, Philly, Buffalo, St. Louis, San Fran. And we'll go over like most of those. Louisville, Omaha, Nashville, New Orleans, Europe, Asia, Australia. Where are they? Well, they were only meant to be temporary. They were all torn down afterwards. You know, you would tear this down too. It looks horrible, right? You can let this stand in your city. Disgusting. I'm showing a picture of the World's Fair for people listening. Okay. They started in London in 1851 to show off, financed by elites, rich people, anything that's sponsored by them, right? It's like you have a lot of doubt with it. History is called his story. It's just a point, like we're being lied to, right? That's not too hard to imagine. They have ancient monuments that we couldn't even build today because it would be too expensive, or probably because we can't. And I also want to bring this point up. History is enthralling to me. Like even if it's a lie, some of it, I love reading it. It's something that like I have very few people I can talk to about it. Like my one friend, him and I can talk history and a few other people in the Truther community. But it's amazing. No one reads, no one, it's sad. And then in school, I think they purposely hire crusty old men to teach dates. A joke, but that's like, it's that bad, right? Like who would enjoy history in high school? I didn't learn anything. And when I read it later, I was like, oh, I remember kind of learning that. Why did they teach it to me like this? Like, and maybe they did and I just didn't care. I don't know. But yeah, I think they make it kind of boring, like not the teachers, but the information that they push them to teach is meant to be very boring. So the World's Fair, they were 1850 to 1915, the ones that we're going to be talking about. Millions would come, like the Olympics. Each city that had a World Fair would usually have a fire before the World's Fair or have one immediately after. And Chicago World's Fair, 700 acres, they did it in 2 years. St. Louis, 1,200 acres, 2 years. Even modern builders said with today's machinery, it would take them like 15 years would be very lucky. Like how did they, and this is what before automobiles, before people had pickup trucks, before people had cranes, how are they building this stuff in 2 years? And then another thing, there isn't a McDonald's outside. So who's feeding all these workers that are coming into these cities that are building this? Are they all brown bagging it on their, like, where do they live? They can't just, they don't live in huts outside the expo. You see, this makes zero sense. Logistically alone makes zero sense. Yeah, this doesn't make sense. So realistically, it would probably take 30 to 40 years. That's what the one builder said. The same, and just that makes zero sense. Chicago, though, at this time during this like the late 1800s here, mid to late 1800s, they did have electric railroads and electric boats, which was like super ahead of its time, obviously. But they, of course, just stopped using them. There's so many technology that's been hidden because why would they give you the best thing if they have to make money for 100 years? So they'll lead you up to it, right? Just doesn't make sense. So the theory that we'll eventually get to is like a mud flood theory, which is, if you're not familiar with that, some climactic event happened worldwide and pretty much covered these structures in dirt. And that would make more sense, the 2 to 3 year timeline. They found this stuff, they dug it out. All the pictures, we'll probably get to that too. And they just took 2 to 3 years for the workers to clean it up. But ever since 1800s, these beautiful buildings have been like systematically destroyed, whether by fire. Penn Station in New York was made covered up with the Madison Square Garden. Just so many buildings. There was a beautiful post office building in New York. Like it was mind blowing. I'm gonna pull it up for anybody that's watching the video. And dude, it was, see, I mean, could you imagine this today? If anyone, again, think of like pillars on pillars on pillars with a big dome. I mean, gorgeous. And they knocked it down. Why? Why'd they knock it down? So yeah. Okay. So World Fair origin. So each of the major expositions had their own historian write a massive document, not just after the event, but the entire like world history leading up to the event. And they often claim these expositions were held like in ancient times in the Olympics during then. So it was like a big event. You know, they said they were repeating history, or it was like a precedent being set, which I think is interesting. First Olympics were in Greek or Athens, I think, which, and they're using Greek architecture and Roman architecture. They said they had affairs in France in the 1700s. Napoleon held one in France in 1798 after conquering Egypt. He saw like these and brought this home 10 years after the French Revolution, and French architecture is beautiful. It was built in 12 years during this time with pickaxes and shovels again. But anyway, huge. So in London, there was a huge Crystal Palace. It was called London Crystal Palace. And it was, you have to, so there, it, of course, it doesn't exist anymore, but it was huge, huge. So it was built by a guy named Joseph Paxson. He held the banana patent that we eat today, which is, side story real quick, bananas. The banana we have today, there was over 50 different types of bananas that God or our creator made. And some of them taste better than the banana we eat today, much better. But what happened in the like early 1900s, first America started a war to oust somebody who wanted to nationalize the banana industry, I think Guatemala. But we came down, and then whoever, United Fruit Company, paid for us to send our military down, oust that guy so we could control the banana industry again. But this banana is the hardiest, most resistant to germs and things. So everyone planted this banana because it was the last crop that would get taken out. But should something happen to this banana, because this bacteria if you subscribe to germ theory, constantly changes and knocks out this banana, bananas will be gone because we've now lost. There is no other bananas. Just an interesting point. So the guy that held the patent on this banana, and he was assisted by railroad builders, and the Crystal Palace was 851 feet long, 50 feet wide, 900,000 square feet of glass, 3,300 iron columns. So if you're watching, you can see it looks magnificent. Just think, guys, like a greenhouse, but on steroids, right? So it had Egyptian temples, Babylonian temples, thousands of Roman and Greek statues, concert halls, giant trees to make you feel as if you were outdoors. Think of like the malls, how they always have like the sky dome. Think of that, but all glass all around, right? Prince Albert spoke in the Crystal Palace. He was talking about how amazing everything was, the technologies, and how great 1850 was. 6 million people visited the Crystal Palace. 200,000 pound profit used from visiting the Crystal Palace, and it opened the Natural History Museum, which was built probably fantastic. I'm not going to pull it up, but I don't want to go too long. And it, of course, burned down in 1937. So shucks, right? And another expo was built in 1862, built two domes bigger than the St. Peter's domes. 1853, New York made another Crystal Palace with a 100-foot dome, and that was burned down in 1858. It was glass and iron, but it burned down. Another Crystal Palace in Munich, 1854, 1931, burned down. Montreal Crystal Palace, 1860, had the first indoor ice hockey. Burnt down in 1880. Toronto, Crystal Palace, 1870, lasted until 906, fire. Just, so there's something there, right? That's a lot of fires. These people, again, they built this magnificent structure. They're not like playing with matches and starting a fire, right? And okay, you'd say, there's no fire department. Well, how is it burning a glass building that's made of iron and glass? Anyway. So 1876, Philadelphia, my home area, was the first true World's Fair, and it was celebrating the 100th anniversary of the U.S. as we know it. So it contained a building that was 70,800, I don't know, it was huge. It was similar to the Crystal Palace in London. It had 700 columns, but in Philadelphia, there was even more square footage, with a 500,000 square foot agricultural hall that looked like cathedral palaces put together. Only one building still stands, the Memorial Hall's 150-foot dome. But they built hotels for them with 1,300 rooms, another with 1,000 rooms, all demolished after the expo. And you can check out the bird's eye view of it in Philadelphia. I'll put it up right here. And so huge, just beautiful, right? Just beautiful. Here it is. So anyway, but what you can see here, it makes Philadelphia look like Florence, Italy. And if you've ever been to Philadelphia, you can get very good heroin very close to City Hall. That's a joke, but it doesn't look like that today, right? They tore it down and it looks like, there's some nice parts of Philadelphia, I guess, but pretty much it's not very nice. And the total cost to make this city look so beautiful was $8 million, which today's money is probably like $500 million. And all they made were $4 million. What would you do after that kind of loss? Keep doing them, right? Well, that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Maybe they're laundering money. So there was even a Tesla Tower, which is seen in all these fairs. Tesla Tower is like Tesla Tech, like these poles in the sky. Tesla, if you didn't listen to my HARP episode, he was able to transfer electricity with no wires, just like have a pole in a certain spot, and he could light a light bulb in his hand, you know, all far away. And it's kind of like how in a microwave, if you put tinfoil in it, it'll caught on fire, but if you had like a carrot next to that tinfoil, it wouldn't even get warm. He like knew something with alternating current, right? So there was in Barcelona, they had one, 1888. It was huge, 2,000 guests, 60 rooms, all this work torn down. Why not just make, if you're going to tear it down, why just not make it look like shit, right? But the modern builder said it would take, with modern equipment, all that stuff, 2 years it would take, but they were able to do it in 52 days with horses, wagons, hand screws, all that stuff. Torn down May 1st, which is interesting. That's the founding of May 1st, 1776, of the Bavarian Illuminati. Also, Workers' Day, communist holiday, which is coming up. Funny that it's the same day as the start of the Illuminati, isn't it? Because you, Illuminati wants socialism, communism, and Workers' Day is picked on their founding. Sure, just a sheer luck, right? Sheer luck for that. Then in Louisville, 1883, there was a 12-acre big building, bigger than Medici's palaces in Florence, tons of light bulbs, recently invented supposedly by Thomas Edison from Louisville, torn down 5 years later, temporary buildings, that's why they say that, but can't be too temporary if it's 5 years, it's lasting 5 years before they build it down. Louisville was founded in 1778, yeah, during the American Revolution, because what else are you doing? They're not doing anything else during that time. You know, let's found a city. So they found a city because they were bored and there wasn't anything to do back then. And 80 civilians and 150 soldiers, they went there to start it. 100 years, they went from, you know, these log cabins and, you know, made like colonial type houses to this huge sprawling city because, you know, why not? Interesting. There's power in the English language. There's something there, but founded, like I founded this land. But anyway, most US cities were found dead, 1700 to 1850, which I mean that, you know, most people say, well, that makes sense. We got there in 14, you know, didn't start till, but just interesting. That's when most cities were found. So San Fran was found in 1847, yet the gold, 20 years later, they have a city with palaces, towers, domes that rival Prague. Soldiers in 20 years recreated old Europe. And that's the same story for most American cities, like founded by soldiers. And in 20 years, it's this sprawling, beautiful architecture building. But we'll get more to San Fran later. Sydney Expedition, 1879. Within 50 years, convicts, because that was the prison-like island, and soldiers created this massive building program, constructed by the same guy that did the London Crystal Palace, dome, 100-foot diameter dome, 210 feet high, 112,000 meters floor space, destroyed in a fire, 1882. Paris, 1889. It was the biggest and baddest of the time. Think like Epcot showing like cultures around the world. But this happened, of course, 18 years after it was destroyed by the Germans in the Franco-Prussian War. Because, dude, when humans want to do something, they can just do anything. They can build a whole city in 18 years. They can't fix that pothole that in my sidewalk over there. It's taken them 5 months, but they can build a whole city if they just put their mind to it. That was my joke. Maybe it fell flat. Eiffel Tower was built around this time in 1889, but then it had structures all around it. And those buildings were removed. It was from this time. So you have all this stuff built ridiculously fast, all destroyed right away. Clearly, this isn't making sense. And hear me out. I get confused if when I said it, but like the Tesla Tower, Tesla Tech, what if the Eiffel Tower wasn't just a big metal structure, right? What if it was an energy conductor like a Tesla sphere or a Tesla coil? Okay, chapter three, planning and building Chicago. Ooh, so a 690-acre site had canals, buildings, landscaping, roads, sidewalks, all built in 2 years with 40,000 workers. Where'd you get the materials for a 690-acre site? Where do they go to the bathroom? Or I guess they could just go in the woods taking a shit in a hole, I guess. How'd you feed them? There's zero machines. So you're telling me 40,000 workers every day to and from work? Okay, yeah, all right. Monster buildings, huge. Let's pull this up while we're talking about it. Chicago World's Fair pictures. I would love to show you some of the beginning photos of how they built it. Those don't exist though, because they didn't think that was important to build, right? Ridiculous, freaking ridiculous. But here you can see this while we're doing that. Okay, yeah. So like buildings, you've seen them go up. I've seen them go up in Philadelphia. It takes a long time. Cranes, I mean like months to take one building to get the materials, probably to fabricate the materials, transfer the materials. But they were able to build this, canals, lakes in the middle of all these buildings, huge domes. Huge buildings, huge. 300,000 people could hold in one auditorium. I mean, look at, it's a monster. It's 700 acres. So 700 houses, and if you're in the suburbs, usually most of us are on an acre plot, 700 of your houses long. 2 years. And they had it guarded. They had it, I mean, everything looked perfect, right? Howie asked like builders, how long would this take today with machines and limited budget? He said 10 to 15 years, maybe 10 years fast. These projects, I know this is gonna be a crazy statement. They equal the undertaking of the Egyptian period. The mainstream story, the planning took 1 month. They were quick. Done in 2 years with stops during brutal winters. With stops. They were able to do it in a year and 3 months. The Chicago Federal Building in 1911 had a huge dome. I'm pulling it up. It was a huge dome. Look at, yeah, see, awesome. I mean, it was huge. And of course it's torn down, this beautiful, beautiful federal building. It was torn down in 1966, kind of, I think, around when the Penn Station in New York got, that's around then, and replaced with a disgusting looking skyscraper. I mean, go look it up, guys. It's just, think of like the White House, or the Capitol, whatever one that has a huge dome. That's what it looks like in the middle of New York. Beautiful. Columns, archways, the whole thing. So let's go over the history of Chicago. French explorers came in the late 1600s. A fort was built with a few logs. You know, they're simple people. And none of this made it past the War of 1812. The city was incorporated in 1837 by big businesses. It was like the East-West Corridor. In 1893, the city was filled with massive towers, domes, pillars, rivaling Rome. You know, that's 60 years later. But wait, it wasn't actually 60 years later because the city was burned down in 1871. So 22 years. Supposedly, it's named Chicago because it's native for the word onion that grows in that area. And there's a lot of weird things with that. There's no buildings until 1837. Ancient maps were too good for what they had at the time. I think we've proven this over and over again, that there's maps that have things that the only way they could have known was from an aerial view, and they weren't flying it. The Wright brothers didn't exist, so how did they know? But so we know, I think I had Luddite on, if you want to check out that show, but the airships, there are some, their maps are too good. We have so like the Admiral Peary Reese map, which was like 1500s that depicted Antarctica without any ice. So, and what they do, just like with every evidence that disproves the mainstream history, they chalk it up as an anomaly or that it just doesn't exist, and they just go over because they don't want to have to reprint all those history books. It's a lot of paper. So they just ignore it. But yeah, so the map was drawn in 1832, just a few logs. And then there was one in 1892. And then 20 years later, after it was founded, there's these huge brick houses, churches with amazing spires, all on dirt roads. Where'd they get all the materials again? Then, of course, there was lots. Oh, this is funny. So after they built these huge buildings, five-story buildings that weighed 22,000 tons, right? They had to lift it up because, you know what? Shit. They realized, damn it, we built it on a swamp, guys. You know, we built this five-story, we laid the foundation, but we never noticed we built it on a swamp. So what'd they do? They needed them to lift the building. So they called up all the people in the neighborhood and they said, heave, hove. And here's the picture I pulled up, guys. It is just a drawing, but essentially what it looks like. And these buildings didn't close. You could still shop in them while they lifted up the building. People were sleeping. It was a hotel, and they didn't have them leave. Like, that's literally insane. That makes zero sense. But they were able to lift this building, supposedly, and move it. And then it wasn't just this building. They did the whole block. The whole block at one point. They lifted up the whole block with people, and they relayed the foundation. So that's the story of Chicago. You know? Ugh, just ridiculous, right? Like, this is, oh, and supposedly this was done by a guy named John C. Lane. And he knew how to, like, do this, he said. So he knew how to save the swamp city. So John C. Lane, where would a man learn this kind of skill of how to lift a whole town? Which, how would he know that? Well, he learned it in San Francisco in 1853, of course, which is, you know, who wouldn't? That's where everyone learned it there. But of course, you know, San Francisco was only founded by cowboys and gold miners in 1847. So in 6 years, I guess he picked up a lot. They were moving lots of towns that were on swamps that also needed to be lifted. And that's where he got the idea, right? I mean, this is all me being very facetious. We understand that makes zero sense. The Chicago fires, they claimed it was all wood, so it went up like in a puff of smoke. But of course, these pictures that I'm showing, and that you can maybe listen to my show and type it in, that might be the best way. You'll find that there was metal domes, glass domes, brick and stone. So the fire would not have burned down the whole city. There was some wood, yeah, but it was brick, you know, just like brick. So what if it makes more sense, though, that what if the swamp was mud and it wasn't that they had to lift it up, they had to dig it out? Because the only photo they have, I'm not going to pull it up because the typing for people listening might drive them crazy. The only of the lifting this town hall or this hotel is the actual photograph, not the drawing, is there's no people really, but you do see big piles of dirt. So what if it was just digging this place out? And there's a lot of evidence for this mud flood theory, something covered up. But yeah, so Old Chicago in 1908, Abe Lincoln rested here. And so it's got like its name for that. His body was rested here for a while. So here's the building. If everyone's to pull it up, the Chicago City Hall of 1908, if you're just, it's clearly a building built on top of another building. Like there's bricks on the bottom here that don't match up with the columns at the top. And so the bottom building was where, let me just make sure I'm saying it right. But yeah, it's a building built on top of another building. And they don't say it is, but it is. A building person, again, that Howie had to look at the photograph, claimed that this bottom one's clearly 100 years older. And ancient civilizations did this too, though. They built on top of other structures. So there's something to that point, right? Very like, there's something to that point. They keep building on not just the foundation, but like using the other building and building on top of it. They tore that down, built another beautiful city hall, which still stands today. And it has a fasci sign on the top of the entrance, which is like an axe with a bunch of sticks with a cord. And they use, this is where you get the fascist sign. Mussolini, Hitler used the sign. Tesla got his death ray from this symbol. So what if it's not a fascist sign, but it's actually like an energy sign? What if it's metal rods surrounded by copper? And this is just like, you'll have to look it up to see exactly what I mean. I'll pull it up for everyone that's watching the video. But see, this fasci sign, it looks literally like an axe on the one end with a bunch of poles and something wrapped around the poles for everyone listening. So that was on the top of the ceiling. So there's a story in the Bible, like I'm still reading the Bible, guys, so I'm not good, but trumpets took down the wall of Jericho. Now, you know, they pick and choose what they say is a metaphor and what isn't a metaphor in the Bible. What if that is true? What if an energy weapon, such like something like this, was able to bring down the walls? And what if this amazing architecture was built like an anti-energy weapon, right? That's why they built this in this specific form, this pillars, columns, arches, never developed a new one. What if this, and with the domes, protected in some way? And I know that sounds crazy, right? That's like, but as an example, when the Cathars were attacked by the Christian crusaders, they all hid in the cathedral for shelter. Now you'd say, well, that was the biggest building, I guess. But what if it's more to that? What if they're using energy weapons because they're these domes are creating energy. Tesla was able to pull energy out of the sky. And I guarantee you he wasn't the first to do it. And what if that's why they're built like this? Because that would make sense. They're all built like this all over the world. So it's either there was the same group of people building all these places everywhere, copycats that learned exactly how to do it somehow, or there's something more to this story, right? I don't want to get too much. I got a lot to get through. Okay, Chicago Exposition 1892. Now we're getting into the real deep stuff. So Chicago Exposition 1892. It was fought between J.P. Morgan, Astor, Vanderbilt versus the Chicago. Like they wanted it in Chicago, different places, but eventually Chicago won because of the Great Fire. They pictured the city of Chicago, like J.P. Morgan and all of them. They wanted it in a different place, but whatever. And they picked the Great Fire, like, oh, I get the main history will say, well, they have this sad thing. Let's build them up, rebirth like the Phoenix. The main architects was Frederick Law Olmsted, and he designed Central Park. He just designed George Washington Masonic Memorial Grounds. And Jackson Park, you know, being the great architect that he was, he designed a park, or he picked a park that was on the swamp, like any good architect would. So he picked that, and Burnham. There was two guys, Burnham and Root. They got the job. Root died 1 year after getting the contract. Now, Burnham is an interesting character. He grew up in a new church of Swedenborg, which is, never mind. He moves to Chicago in 1850. He was denied entrance at Yale and Harvard, which is like, if he went to Yale, I'd scream skull and bones, but he didn't. So, learns drafting at an architecture firm, tried to be a gold miner, druggist, glass salesman, eventually meets Root on the street. They decide, you know what, we're not good at anything, so let's start our own architecture firm with no experience. Within weeks, they get this contract of a very rich man, John Sherman, to build his mansion. And what do you know? Burnham, he marries her daughter, the true Romeo and Juliet story. So he's a nobody, and he now starts getting contracts. He's credited with building 14.7 million square feet of buildings in New York City, Chicago, Washington, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Detroit, Manila, and more. He built the Masonic buildings in Chicago, Montauk, Chicago. It's called the Montauk buildings, which is the same name used in the time travel experiments in New York, Montauk Project, which is like what Stranger Things is like, kind of like loosely based on. But yeah, so you can see the issues here. This man, after no experience, built all of the art, like all the old architecture of that time. He hires his friend to whitewash the buildings in record time. Interesting word to use, whitewash the buildings, right? Whitewash is to like make old buildings look new, deceit. So weird. Burnham. He eventually dies, or no, he was on the Olympic the exact same time his friend was on the Titanic. So I guess the Olympic was going this way. I guess I didn't look into this before I did the show. But regardless, he dies 47 days after the Olympic lands. And if you guys don't know the Titanic story, I'm sure most of you do. Jacob Astor was on the Titanic, and so was somebody else who opposed the Fed, supposedly. And JP Morgan didn't go on the ship that day. He decided he wasn't feeling well, kind of like how Larry Silverstein didn't go into the towers on 9/11 to have breakfast like he did every day. And then the two people opposing the Fed died, and then they passed the Federal Reserve Act on Christmas Eve. So anyway, Burnham dies on the Olympic, which is just weird. But Jackson Park was drained. The swamp was drained, like Donald Trump drained the swamp through aqueducts, building railroads, line. Oh, they drained the aqueducts, obviously, before all the housing started. It all just took 2 years, though, to do all this. Don't worry. There was lots of snow cave-ins on the roofs they were building, supposedly. You know, they're hardworking Americans, though. They persevered. They got through it. So to provide a foundation of the swamp, they drove thousands of logs into the swamp. Thousands. I mean thousands of logs into the swamp. I'm not going to pull it up. But there's a few photos of that. Not of them putting it in, of them already being there. But they moved 1,200,000 cubic yards of earth before building in 2 years. So easy. With horses, shovels, muscles, righty and lefty, they dug it, they got it. They got it fixed. In the paper, there was a woman's building, which was a beautiful like White House looking structure, which was almost completed before anything else was built. So why would you build, like you would think maybe if this was actually, so this is why it's a lie, because if I'm a builder, would I build one thing at a time and have it completely finished, painted, ready to go before I move on to the next? Or would I have teams, they should all probably be in similar spots building, right? And that just shows you that they didn't build this stuff. It was at least already there or something, right? But yeah, so that was built before everything else. And it was interesting in the article in the paper that had this, the journalist says, not a single noise between workmen It was almost as if with the touch of fairies, a wand, things were being built. Right? A little weird, huh? Interesting word, use of words. There was 30 Italian immigrants in the story. Three is a hermetic number. Roman Empire descendants, they're building Roman buildings. And the claims that these buildings were built so quickly because they were made of cheap materials, wood, plaster, fiber, invented in Paris to build earlier exposition, and then painted white. It's super weak stuff. It's just like easy, right? Again, there's no pictures of dredging the ground, horses, men with shoveling. All the pictures are scaffolding around these buildings. That's it. So if there's just scaffolding, they were just painting it, right? I looked up building Philadelphia City Hall. There's nothing. There's no things of building it. There's nothing. There's like a few with before they, I think they put Ben Frank or William Penn on the top, but there's nothing, dude. You're undertaking this huge project and you wouldn't save a photo of it? That makes zero sense. Okay. I'm getting sidetracked. I apologize. Yes. Okay. Yep. No pictures. Mm-hmm. Now there are World's Fair where there are buildings that definitely are temporary. That's absolutely true. There are some that are like, you can tell they're not marble, stone, brick, but there are zero blueprints they have. Zero. They don't have a single blueprint of how they built these things. They built the Colosseum World's Fair, huge new one. Oh, they built the Colosseum at the World's Fair. It was huge. It collapsed while making it. I don't know what my notes are there. I apologize, guys. Sorry about that. University of Chicago, 1856. Okay. It's a castle building it was a prisoner of war camp. So why build a college in the middle of nowhere, of which of course burned everything down but this tower, and they asked the Rockefellers to help rebuild it. Which University of Chicago, if you guys don't know, it's a Rockefeller funded university. So he said he wouldn't help this old the old University of Chicago, but then he said, I'll help you build a new University of Chicago. And that's what we know today. It was built at the exact same time as the World's Fair. Tons of Gothic buildings. You know, you can see here. I mean, beautiful structures. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Guys, just think like castle-like, you know, just normal, beautiful buildings here. Kind of like a Hogwarts, right? Okay. So like a Hogwarts, like Gothic building, but you know, so they're building at the same time as the World's Fair. Damn, dude, that's a lot of workers. 40,000 building the World's Fair. Where are they finding all these people? And where are they living? It would take them like 2 hours to get to work. That's a horrible commute. So it was right next to Jackson Park, which was where the World's Fair was held. They used a single stone from the old college in the new college, like building. And just some more symbolism, I'm sure, there. Chicago Cultural Center, it was the old library. It was built in 1893 during the World Fair, another Roman building. Largest Tiffany Dome in the world, 30,000 panes of glass valued at $35 million, has scales of fish on the dome. Even more buildings, a black dome that is 33 feet high, 66 feet long, all that stuff. Okay. Hugh Bancroft wrote the Book of the Fair. In 1832 in Ohio, he wrote the first history of Western USA, Texas, California, Mexico, British Columbia, Native Indians. So how did, he was a very busy guy, right? He had books to sell in San Francisco. He set up an office in 1852 in San Francisco in that thriving metropolis. Yeah, so it was started 5 years earlier in 1847 by cowboys. Lots of those cowboys were very scholarly, okay? Very scholarly cowboys. So he was a collector of books, maps, manuscripts. He had so much. He had to employ 6 people to index all the stuff he had. Wow, what an avid collector, right? It's just so, he really loved his hobby. In 1900, he had over 45,000 volumes. So he just liked to collect, right? Or could he have been sent out west 5 years after it was founded and sponsored by somebody else, maybe the Smithsonian rich families, and collected all of the ancient maps and books that were out there? And the same thing happened, and you would say, how does that get done? That doesn't sound very likely, Jack. Well, in ancient Egypt, who tells you all the history? The Egyptologist. Anybody that steps outside that paradigm is laughed at. They don't get a job. They're done. They only get Robert Shaw, whose mom was a theosophist, so take that for what it's worth, but he's an MIT professor who says the Great Sphinx is much older than it is. I mean, he's laughed at. Dude. He was on Joe Rogan, right? He's never be asked by anyone like quote unquote reputable, right? So they do the same thing all the time. So why would it be so hard to believe that back then they were able to do that as well? Regardless, Bancroft wrote 39 volumes, 1,500 pages long, 60,000 pages in less than 2 years. How did he write that so fast? Same way they built everything in 2 years, right? One guy called him out a fraud and copying stuff. Just probably because he was a fraud. He said his huge collection cost him $500,000 at that time. So what would you, I don't know what that's a lot of money. Like today, what, like 40 million maybe? Who financed that? He was selling books. He wasn't like, it was clearly he was financed by somebody. He found a book called America, and he claims that Indians in this book by John Ogilby claims Indians had 30,000 people in some cities in four-story limestone buildings. Bancroft didn't do this. There was a book that was written by a guy named John Ogilby. It's called America. And this was the most accurate. He claims that Indians had 30,000 Indians in some cities with four-story limestone buildings. So these buildings were there before the colonial people came in here. Bancroft, of course, is a Freemason, but I'm sure he just did it because he liked the brotherhood and the camaraderie. So what is Chicago? Everything built before 1930 looks like ancient Rome. 1893, all these buildings, all ancient Rome. So why? And 1930 was the start of the modern skyscraper. Okay. So why the change, right? That's just weird. So they wanted to, I think, symbolize that America was the new Rome. Chicago's on the same latitude as St. Peter's Basilica, the city hall. And they're the only two cities like that. Chicago and Rome are on the same latitude. Okay. So 700 acres, you could be there for days and not see the whole thing in Chicago. You were forbidden to take photos unless you paid a $2 fee, which was a huge price at that time. Police would come and arrest you if you did. So most photos are taken by two guys, C.D. Arnold, Henry Jackson. Had over 200 buildings, 700 acres, canals, lagoons, you name it. But they were all temporary, though, all temporary. 27 million people attended during the six-month run, 62 million in the U.S. at the time. So what is that? Almost 50% of people in the United States came to visit the World's Fair. Wizard of Oz was modeled after this expo. It was supposed to be open in 1892, like 400 years after Columbus, right? It was like kind of a soft opening. They had children saying the Pledge of Allegiance in military fashion, but that closed in 5 days because the Chicago mayor was assassinated. So why was it called the Chicago Columbia Exposition? Why Columbia, right? Well, the Statue of Liberty, aka ISIS, is 65 foot tall, covered in gold leaf or actual gold. And one hand, this is her right here. It's from the back. I don't know if I have one from the front, but it's the cover of this book. If you guys look up World's Fair, it's like the first picture. It's like a Statue of Liberty-esque kind of looking person. So one hand holds an orb, the other is the eagle, Horus, and a staff that is a serpent winding down it. So District of Columbia, you know, DC, that's a mythical female figure, Columbia. It's the American version of ISIS. It was, Columbia is liberty. So synonymous with America, like Lady Liberty, who was always there, like sitting on the storefront, star fort in 1880, supposedly as a French gift. That's Lady Liberty, right? It's symbology. It probably wasn't given as a gift in 1880. It's the same period as all this going on. So there's some conundrums in there. Columbia Motion Picture, it's the Statue of Liberty, kind of, but the Statue of Liberty is the Statue of Columbia, okay? So the buildings, the Manufacturer Liberal Arts Building was the biggest building of all time in America at this point. It was six football fields long, covered 30 acres, 200 feet at the center hall. That's half the height of the Great Pyramid. Four entrances, 10 feet wide, each of the entrances. I'm looking up Chicago so everyone can see. I mean, whoa, dude. Whoa. Huge, guys. Just huge. Huge. This is where they could fit 300,000 people in the auditorium. That's how big this was. They have products from all over. They have agriculture, they have an agricultural building, they have a fisheries building, government building, all that stuff like that. And the copy of the Capitol, Washington, they had a 165-foot tall dome. Like the dome was 100. This was interesting. J.P. Morgan and Thomas Edison both had, it was General Electric, it was just J.P. Morgan and Thomas Edison versus Westinghouse, who got the rights to light this place up. Westinghouse was Tesla. So they went out, they duked it out, and who won the contracts? Tesla won. And I think he won because he understood how to use alternate currents, which have been hidden from humanity. And these ancient buildings helped create those alternate currents. That's why he was picked. It wasn't because Tesla was like ridiculed, right? I mean, not in 1893, he was probably still relatively, but Edison was powerful, dude. He was friends with J.P. Morgan. So there's something there to that too. Let's see, the two buildings needing the most electricity had towers in it. No other ones in the fair did. So here. So the towers and domes are creating free energy. The dome buildings provided the energy. The Palace of Fine Arts is the only one of the structures that still exists today. I thought they were all temporary. Makes zero sense, right? Many were made out of marble. Still temporary. Take them down. And 100 countries had buildings as well. Now, this is cool. Germany, they had their arms and machinery showcase for basically, it was like, look what we're going to have during World War I when we're provoked into fighting a war. Norway had a Viking ship. Now, it was 76 feet long. This Viking ship, how did they get it there? They sailed it there. It's almost, again, a metaphor. They sailed it across the Atlantic to get there. So if it was the exact same ship that they had during Scandinavia during the, you know, the Dark Ages that may or may not exist, at least let's say 800 years ago, they could sail it now. I'm sure they could sail it then. There is a part called Midway. It had the rest of the buildings of art, technology, and culture. Midway was about like beer, girls dancing, exotic music. It was like a bizarre street in Cairo. They could smoke hookah, belly dancing, which was very degenerate for the time. Small pieces of culture, food everywhere. The world's first Ferris wheel, 250 feet high, much larger than what we even have today. It had 36 cars on it. Each could carry 40 people. That's a huge Ferris wheel. So 40 people per car, and there's 36 cars. 1,400 could ride the thing. They eventually just brought it out down too and sold it for scrap. They had Juicy Fruit Gum, the first PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, Cream of Wheat, all made their debuts at this fair. And of course, they had a huge refrigerator, which had an indoor skating rink in 1893, because who didn't have that? And they needed it for all the meat that was used at the fair. Because think, guys, I mean, this 24 million people came, right? A lot of food. Well, fire started in that big ass refrigerator. 20 firefighters tried to put it out. 13 died. They jumped off this building to their deaths. The second fire came in 1894, 3 months after the fair ended. This was started by some tramps hanging out around the fair after closed, smoking cigarettes. And that's the story, at least. And that's what did in the rest of the fair. And then there was actually another fair after the tramps were smoking cigarettes. And it's interesting, the second fire only happens after public opinion was like, let's keep these structures. They're beautiful. Like, why would we get rid of these? And they burned them down. The Columbia statue survived until 1896 when another fire happened, supposedly, and melted the perfect, like the gold-coated steel statue. And, or it could have been of all gold. No one really knows. But what probably happened is that got stolen by, like, it's probably in like Rockefeller's, one of their family mansions or in the Smithsonian somewhere. Chicago wanted to keep all the artistic works from people all over the world in a museum, but you know, they couldn't build the museum fast enough after the war ended or after the expo ended. They used all that energy to build all these 200 buildings in 2 years. So the artifacts were scattered across the world. You know, that was in Bancroft's book, makes zero sense. They clearly, if the story is they could build this whole thing in 2 years, they couldn't build the museum fast enough. Okay, chapter 5, Nashville to St. Louis. Nashville, it's just gonna be the same story, guys. I'll go over it quick. 6 month celebration, 100th year anniversary in Nashville, May 1st, there's that date again, October 30th. They built a actual size replica of the Pantheon, even having a fairly large pyramid. In this area in Nashville, it's famous to the mound builder culture, which I talk about in a Sinister Forces episode. A lot of Native American like ghost stories kind of things like that are around those mounds. A lot of like weird events happen around those things. But Pantheon building was temporary, but the residents liked it so much that the people of Nashville said, we want to keep it. And they said, okay, here it is. Looks, I mean, look, beautiful. They still have today, but you know, they just built that. It was temporary, but they said, we'll keep it. We'll refix it. They tore down the other buildings. Those are all for sure temporary. Omaha, same thing. 180 acre site with lagoons, gondolas, 21 massive buildings. It was also called the White City, like the Chicago one. 2.6 million people attended, even though the American West had just been opened up. Having some pictures, they have some pictures of wood buildings being put up, then others were stone. They don't have those pictures, of course. And that was the thing, again, some of these fairs definitely had fake buildings in them. And then the other ones, I got a text from Miss Olivia. And so some of them were fake buildings next to the real buildings. And I think they did this to help cover it up, right? So that's why they have photos of them building the wood ones. Most photos of the Omaha Fair are from 1898, but the photo, like they took copyright things seriously back then, just like they do today. So the copyright photos are 1898, but some of the photos say 1858, 1892. So how are they taking fair photos before the fair happened? Right? That's like the photos of the fair were copyrighted 20 or 6 years before the, might not have been 58, it was probably 88. But how are they taken 6 years before the fair started? Anyway, that doesn't make any sense. Then of course they destroyed with explosives in 1900. Whatever didn't get destroyed, a fire got the job done a few months later, nothing after that. Buffalo, 1901, we're made the threshold in the 1900s. It was the 8th largest population at the time. I lived in Buffalo for a few months. Didn't go well, I was a heroin addict still. They had good wings, not so good of heroin though. Philadelphia's better. And I'm just joking. I mean, it's true, but I'm just joking. So Buffalo, is that in the same level as Chicago, Paris, London, Barcelona? No, why name it Buffalo? There are no Buffalo there. But supposedly there was a Buffalo Creek where they named the creek, why they named the creek Buffalo Creek, I don't know, all stupid. The growth though was because of the Erie Canal in 1825. Buffalo is a number of old structures like Chicago and who built them, you know, just doesn't. And then it was, so this one was 350 acres. Again, temporary structures, very few survived. But look at it. If you were looking, huge domes, lots of electricity. Who won the electricity bid again? You got it. Tesla won again, which there's a reason for that. This one had like the most light bulbs ever. At this fair, William McKinley was killed in the Temple of Music, which probably is symbolism for something. They had just won, well, he died in the hospital, but the US had just won the Spanish-American War, and there was a big Pan-American sentiment going around that we should control both North and South America. That's why the logo is this Pan-American Columbia, I think, like over Pan-America. There's no photos of the construction at all. Just people wearing like painting outfits. So probably, again, they dug them out and that's how they got it done in 2 years because they did the same thing. And Buffalo gets a lot more snow. So they're saying they built that in a year of actual building time. Makes zero sense. Federal building, it was, had a central dome 250 feet high. I think that's this one right here. Toppled by a 20-foot statue of victory. I mean, beautiful stuff. Center of the fair is a high electrical tower, 395 feet high. On top of the tower is a golden statue of the goddess of light, like the one in Chicago. All buildings were lit up like Christmas trees. They said they used the Niagara Falls for energy. I don't think that's how they did it. I'm sure they used the Tesla tech. Maybe they used the Tesla tech and did it. So Buffalo is known for shooting at President McKinley. He was shot by Leon Szilagyi. He was in the hospital. They had a hospital there, and the operating area had no indoor lighting. So even though outside they had 10,000 electric lights, in his hospital operating room, there were no lights. And so he died. Nationwide manhunt. He's found 10 days later. He's tried. 2 days after that electric chair, his attorney put zero efforts. Pretty quick murder, right? How long did it take Derek Chauvin to get charged? When they do it that quick, they did it, I think, with James Wilkes Booth as well, and probably with Jack Ruby, you know, all these guys. They want it over in it because they don't want him talking. So they killed him that quick. It was a sad fair. I don't want to go into them. They hurt some animals. But anyway, they lost over $3.5 million on the fair. And you know what's the next logical thing to do? Let's build a bigger and better one. So 1904, St. Louis. It was 3 years later in St. Louis after it was purchased. The St. Louis was in the Louisiana Exposition. This area is also famous for the Mississippi Mound Builders. French explorers allegedly didn't get to here until the 1700s. And the census of 1772 set claims there are 637 people in St. Louis. So Lewis and Clark traveled from Pittsburgh looking for tree roots and trade with Native Indians, and they found this deserted city. You know, they're traveling to the West before everybody else. Were they actually there to find trade routes, or were they actually looking for deserted cities because they work for the government? And I know that sounds wild, but there's going to be a lot more evidence to this story that doesn't make any sense. In the year 1816, with a population of 2,000 people, they built a huge courthouse that still stands today. 2,000 people, and they built a giant St. Louis courthouse with 2,000 people. Why would they build this huge thing with this huge dome and everything? That looks like the White House or the Capitol. That makes zero sense. Zero sense. Like, how many people were going to court every day? Were they all criminals? And then in 1900, they laid bricks on the dirt roads. So it took them 100 years. They built this huge domed courthouse, but still had dirt roads and did put bricks. What? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Like, and then they picked the location of the St. Louis Fair in Forest Park, which was the middle of town. And it was supposedly chosen because they had good water pressure there. But you know what houses were there? All the rich people mansions would still exist today. So they said, you know what? I would love millions of people up around my house. No, No, they didn't do that. They chose there because the buildings were probably already there. 657 acres of park. They also built a college nearby, of course, the same Gothic style buildings. The first meeting of this event was June 27, 1901. Designer of works was Isaac Taylor. Taylor designs 250 large buildings, mainly in St. Louis. Graduated with a degree, of course, in classical languages, but was an expert somehow at Gothic architecture. He's, of course, also a 32nd degree Freemason. That's probably how he learned all the Greek architecture work. A major river was rerouted in St. Louis in 65 days by horses and shovels, and they moved the river underground in 1900, whatever, one. The groundbreaking ceremony was December 20th. They burned wood to soften the ground so they could put the spike in to signify the beginning of construction. Because as any good builder knows, you start right in the beginning of winter when you're going to build stuff. 100 million feet of scaffolding are said to be used. Probably to clean. They didn't build anything. Buildings standing alone, probably like in a mud pit, right? 30 miles of streets were created. 70 miles of roads resurfaced. Thousands of tree stumps were removed. Countless cubic feet of soil graded. The workman friend, you know, that how he has look over these pictures, said 20 to 30,000 workers to do this. Photos have no workers, maybe two. Where they get the building materials? Where are the tools? Where are the food areas? The same questions of Chicago. 100,000 people would come watch the builders build on Sunday, but again, not a single photo of that. You would take a photo of that. 100,000 people, you have photos of the scaffolds, you didn't take the pictures of the people. A few photos of this fair even have the early photo of Photoshop, and check those out. Like there, look up Photoshop St. Louis World's Fair. The only building that's left is the St. Louis Art Museum. Again, so if they're temporary, why is this building still around? Unless some buildings were real and they had to remove some of them because they couldn't let them all there. So this one was the largest one so far, twice as large as Chicago. 1,200 acres, 1,500 buildings, 75 miles of walkway. How long did it take? 4 years? Nope. Took 2 years to do it. Come on now. No wind, not as bad of winter in St. Louis. They had a palace of agriculture, 100 million or 1 million flowers, the largest clock tower in the world. Cameras could be used anywhere but the huge agricultural building, which is, you know, there must have been some stuff in there. The Palace of Fine Arts was designed by Cass Gilbert. He eventually would design the US Supreme Court building, direct imitation of Roman building. There was a concert hall, largest pipe organ in the world was built. It was larger, it was 10 train cars to transport it. It was purchased by Wanamaker in Philadelphia. The pipe organ building went bankrupt though because they built it. Missouri State Floor Building, marble floors, heating, air conditioning. In 1904, they had heating and air conditioning. It burned down 11 days before the end of the fair, November 19th, which is but anyway, Palace of Electricity had, this was interesting. In 1904, they had wireless telephone or radiophone, like a cell phone tower. So the people could listen to people talk, and they, with no wires, they were talking to each other. Like they were miles away in 1904. Have you guys ever seen the old video? It's like two ladies, it's like a group of people leaving a factory in the 1900s, and you swear the women look like they're on their cell phones. Like I don't know what else they're doing. And dude, they have technology that we don't even know about, right? That's wild, right? They even had a fax machine, x-ray machine, cars that ran on gas, steam, and electricity. In 1904. What? I don't know, like, where is it, right? They hide it from us. All of it, they hide it from us. They had a midway thing, like they had like the food and stuff like that. They had 400 actors playing gladiators. They had a 9-acre area of like Bavarian Germany, Alpine region. Bavarian Germany has where the Illuminati started, the Rothschilds are from. Just, they even had Geronimo there. as a POW to sign autographs. The first Olympics were here that had the weirdest marathon story. Someone like took a taxi cab. Another one got rat poisoned. Just makes no sense. The total cost is $15 million. They lost $8.6 million. So $231 million they lost. So, you know, huge loss, huge loss. What do you do next? Let's go west. We're almost done, I promise. I promised, okay? Let's see. Yeah, okay. We'll keep going here. All right, San Francisco. Yeah, we're almost done, guys. California was the name given when the Spanish owners believed it was an island, which is interesting, right? California means like something island. Well, it was the same name of a famous book about an island east of Asia inhabited by black Amazonian type women. Think like Wonder Woman, but black. And Queen Khalifa was the fortune of gold. Becomes the gold state in 1849. So what if California was an island? Pretty weird thought, right? Cities of gold. There's in this book, there's cities of gold west of Mississippi, you know, California girls, Amazon. You see these connections? So it was San Francisco was Spanish settlers 1776. It was called Yerba Buena, meaning good herbs, like the Chicago onion thing. Painting in San Francisco of 1848. I'm just going to pull it up. It looks like this, just pre-gold rush. It's, if everyone listening, there's like, it's a nice mountain scene in the back, and it has about like 20 little shacks, some boats in the ocean, and it looks like a big lake or the beginning of the ocean probably. And so eventually though, there was a large building sold to the Hudson Bay Company. They were supposedly in this plaza as well. 1846, there's a population of 800. Okay, so we're getting some people. Well, America captures it, and with no fighting, didn't require to kick the Spanish settlers out. They stuck a flag in the plaza that is not in that photograph and renamed it Portsmouth. And then 3 weeks later, who comes? Some Mormon migrants. How'd they find out? Joseph Smith talked to an alien and he told him to head on over. If you guys don't get that joke, look up who Joseph Smith and Mormonism is. But 1847, they changed the name to San Francisco. So why would America change the name to a Spanish name? Weird. In 1848, James Marshall was a Mormon. He found gold and he ran out in the Portsmouth Square. And he yelled, "There's gold in them hills." And in 1 year, the population went from 1,000 to 25,000. Joseph, the Mormons, they came, and which was interesting because Joseph Smith's family, he's the creator of Mormonism, and his family were treasure hunters, and they also were around Salem as well, but they would use sigils and crystals to try and find gold. So then, oh no, it wasn't James Marshall who did it, I apologize. Samuel Brennan, he ran through the streets and yelled, "There's gold in them hills." And what do you know, Samuel Brennan, he didn't find any more gold, but he did own the gold searching supply store. So he became the first millionaire in the state because everyone gets to California, needs the gold hat, you need the gold sifter, you need the gold shirt, so everyone knows, right? He's got merch, he's got everything. So he became the first millionaire. In 30 years, it went from 800 people to 150,000 people by 1870. Photos of Portsmouth Square. They look like an old Western town, right? It's just like an old Western town. But then 4 years later, there's hundreds of beautiful houses in it. There was a hotel they built, and it had huge, like it was burned down five times. And they kept rebuilding it. And it was, I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful hotel. I wish I could find it quick, guys, but here's like a photo. Like, see, they have these brick buildings, they've got columns, right? 1878, it's a sprawling city, sprawling, huge, beautiful home. Here we go. Churches, spire, like look at this church, beautiful. It looks like a modern day city. It looks just like today. But there's a weird thing about this. Where's all the people? There's not a single person outside in any of these freaking pictures. Where are the horses? It's 1878. Where are they? They're not there, dude. None of them. And look them up yourselves, guys. There's no people in the photos. And so the one quote is like, oh, well, they told them to wait inside. All of them? Where'd they put their horses? 800,000 people? Probably most people have at least one horse per person, or like per patriarch, whatever you want to say. And then interesting, and it was for 10 minutes because they needed exposure for 10 minutes, supposedly, with their photos. Free masonry? Free. Oh, free masonry. Free buildings, right? 1894 fair was 200 acres, 120 structures built in 4 months, easy. Electric tower, a third of the size of the Eiffel Tower, could be seen 50 miles. It got blown up 2 years after it. Had Egyptian building and a Japanese. They kept those two, blew up the rest. Then an earthquake in 906, fires in Chicago, just like, or they had a fire just like in Chicago, just like in St. Louis, just like in San Francisco. 4 days before the quake, there's this video of them riding down the cable car line in San Francisco. And then 4 days after that, they have the same video going down the same thing. And now all you just see is just destruction everywhere from the earthquake and the fires that started. So I guess, and they just found that tape recently, like the past 10 years. Very interesting. Then there's pictures of the city burning and men are just having lunch outside and in the background, the city's on fire. There's photos of people like smiling on a hill as the city burns. Oh, and then this was really interesting. There's a photo outside Stanford University and the statue fell from the second floor and it broke through the sidewalk. It looks like an ostrich, like with its head, it's in the ground. So the statue cracked through stone and the head is in the thing. And who was that guy? Well, it was this guy, Louis Agassiz, who's the head teacher of science who disagreed with Darwin. And his credibility got shot and his statue falls head in the sand. Interesting. Armies blew up the building because they didn't want to fuel the fire. 2 years later, stone and brick buildings, huge ones are all rebuilt. So, and these photos, like the San Francisco photos, it doesn't look like a fire again. It looks like a bombing. See, this is the photo where they're eating outside. But see, this doesn't look like, this is concrete and stone and stuff. Why don't that go, right? Just doesn't make any sense. Trying to make this shorter now. I'm going too long. San Diego had the same thing. They brought in a short amount of time. They knocked down everything. They kept more of the buildings in San Diego. And okay, that's good. You guys get the idea. They're all over the world, okay? And they're all burned down. They all have domes. They all have everything. Just, and they all made in too short of time period. So theories, here we go. We're really at the end now. Mud flood. It was a first theory theorized by a French Jesuit scholar in the 17th century. And he said that the majority of historical events, I don't know where I went with that. I don't know. But anyway, the Council of Trent was 1545 to 1563. And this was supposedly so the Pope could, it was a meeting they had that to combat the rise of Protestantism. They're freaking out, like the scripture, and like Easter was being held on different holidays with the different people. So, and the calendar was a little off, but I guess it took them 10 years to decide what day to celebrate Easter, pretty long. But what if it was to add 1,000 years? So not to make it 1582, or not yet, so it wouldn't be 582, it'd be 1582. And that's what they did during the Council of Trent. And if you listen to my Dark Ages episode, how that was totally made up. People, they only cared about the return of Christ. They weren't interested in how many years since Christ. So it was easy to do this with time. And another way they did it was, what if this meeting, they told all the Jesuit priests and monks to start putting an I or J in front of the year. So if it's like I 546, because it's, I'd say it's actually 546 when they have this meeting, not 1586, they start putting an I in front of it in the year of our Lord. And then they make that a capital I. And then before you know it, that I becomes a one. And that's how you wipe the memory of people of old buildings. Church takes, and then like the 1600s is when the I turns just to a one and people would already forget. Because who writes the books, right? This is also like in the 1300s is when you start integrating the Templars with the Freemasons, which then eventually in the 1500s, like the Rosicrucians, then it's the Illuminati, etc. He said that like maybe the Cathars were slaughtered in the Crusades. Like all these groups are kind of linked. So either they're happening simultaneously, or this is like their story that they keep hiring or they keep hiding. And then Firmenko, he's another author that I'm working on his book. He's got like a whole series of books put together. And Firmenko, he like goes the way end of the spectrum. He talks about how like everything's a lie. But in 1582, Justice Scaliger, he was this historian who was also a priest. He is like who we can thank for history's current, the way it is. And then it was finished, his chronology was finished in 1627 by a Jesuit priest. And this created the AD and BC systems that we still use today. So you can see that's all of history is based off Scaliger and a Jesuit priest. You can see the issues on that, right? Lots, because they will put whatever favors them or whatever they're going. But yeah, Firmenko though, he's got a lot of interesting points. I'm reading his book now, but he puts like Russia at the center of civilization. And I don't know if but regardless, I think he's just showing you that history can be manipulated. Scaliger and this other guy wrote history. So how much trust can you put in that? Ancient Rome, ancient Greece, they maybe actually occurred during the Middle Ages. And this is proven by, so I already did the Dark Ages a lot, but the ancient Rome and Greece, a lot of these paintings, if you look them up, miniatures, they're often painted in medieval and like Renaissance attire. So unless they're painting them in that light, you know, it's just odd. Churches, these huge churches, maybe they were repurposed, like these domes and the kind of, I did like on my HARP episode, energies can heal people, like there's been people and brain control you. Well, what if these huge domes bring the energy and these spires, like our Tesla coils, they bring energy in. And then these, like, they always have those like crazy wind circle windows in churches. And what if that pumps out energy to the town and the organs help vibrations keep healing? And all this, they also had ornate fireplaces. A lot of these, oh man, you guys got to see these real quick. But you couldn't burn fire in them. You couldn't burn fire in them. Like, so what were the point of them? Well, it was probably, here we go. Things like this. See, they couldn't, it wasn't for fire. This one has but they were using it to like get energy into the house. So I already told you that there was utility poles back then in the 1860s with no wires, no telephones, nothing, but they had them all around. They had these fireplace things that didn't burn wood. In 1904, they were able to use a cell phone device at a World's Fair. The rich people had access to something that we didn't know they did. I think that's like, I can say that for 100% and would debate somebody on that. Then why do they have this fireplace if it didn't light fire? Why do they have telephone poles if there was no electricity, right? Star forts, that's another episode. So the theories, mud flood happened, it buried everything in. That's why I like buildings a lot of old buildings that still exist, their windows are covered in the ground, like halfway. You wouldn't build a building like this, right? You wouldn't build it on a slant and have half the building. You would level it, right? So yeah, so there's something that's happened in our direct past. Howie even thinks that that photographs are older than they look, like than they say. So maybe like one of the photos says 1858, it was from 100 years prior to that, and then they burned it down. Yeah, there's just, so here, we'll just kind of wrap it up here, okay? So there's been a fire in every major North American city since like 1800, we'll just say. Every single one. And these people, they were started by great, they would say like, oh, the Great Chicago Fire was started by a cow kicking over a candle. And that same day, four other towns along Lake Michigan all caught on fire the same day and burned down. What are the odds of that? Conspiracy or just a coincidence? But seriously, what, there's something going on. Okay, here, this is where we'll end. I'm sorry I keep saying that. I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me just have a sip of my soda real quick. I need an infusion of caffeine. Okay. Ancient Rome missing link. Now this is, so why did we build ancient Rome structures, right? I mean, I guess we like them the most, whatever. That's what you could say. So all the expositions were modeled after something called the Dormus Aurea in Rome, which Nero, who built this architecture after a great fire. Weird. Nero had to show that he had the power to start building new buildings, like so he had clout, all those things like that. He made lakes, gardens, vineyards, stone, marble, concrete, a great white city, the same name like Chicago. And it was had a lot of things plated in gold and jewels because they called it the Golden City because it shone. So was it shining because it was plated in gold and jewels, or was it shining because he had energy, electricity? It was opulent, think like Trump Tower inside, but more opulent. Fountains, paintings, like just ostentatious, right? Had a huge dome in it with a skylight in the middle. Fountains, running water, energy. They're clearly using energy. So there's an issue though. There was no kitchens or bathrooms. So it was this huge place for hundreds of people to party and show, socialize, but no kitchen or bathrooms. So they're not peeing in their fountains, I'll tell you that. Like I said, it was depicted in these huge giant feasts, but nowhere to cook. And now this is gonna sound insane, but I've heard it before, and I asked my fiance, she laughed, but what if they didn't need to eat? What if this energy was fueling them? That's why there's no bathrooms, or I know that sounds crazy, and I have a lot more research to do on that. But also in this building, with the huge dome, the building would spin, like rotate. They claim that it was slaves that did it, but the slaves weren't picking up a building. Well, maybe they did, like they did in Chicago. They picked up a whole city block. Eventually though, Nero dies, they build on top of it, which is another thing that we see a lot with the Catholic Church building on top of monuments in South America. There's a lot to that. Energy, there's something there, dude. And they built on top of Nero's stuff, and they built the Colosseum, which still stands today. Now, Nero had a lake in his little complex. Remember how the Colosseum would have naval battles? They say that they got that. That's, you know, the water. Just, I don't know. Well, this was all lost to history until a little boy fell through the hole in 1400s. And that is, they saw it. Michelangelo, Raphael, all those beautiful Renaissance artists came and looked at the frescoes that were on the wall in Nero's temple, and they were inspired. And that's why they painted the exact same way he painted. Or, so they either copied their painting exactly, or it happened simultaneously, and it was made up years later, hundreds of years later, to extend history. And yeah, and the same story happened in France. A little boy fell through a hole. Alice in Wonderland, fall through a hole. Then we get DC, our capital. It's designed by the Chicago builder Burnham, Freemason, genetic mathematical placements, everything Roman. And that's the show. So there's something going on, guys. There is something going on that ancient Rome has made it to America. Either it's the same group of people, maybe it's Tartaria. I don't know yet. Or history has been inserted. It wasn't just the Dark Ages that like I subscribe to. They've inserted a long time and changed our history to make us think it's so long ago because they want to win, or they're leaders now, or they have more power now because we've forgotten technology. We've forgotten ways to do things. We've lost something, and they're covering it up. So that's my show, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm trying to figure out how the heck to, there we go. So thank you everybody for listening. Please follow me on Twitter at Conspiracy or JAC. You can support the show, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence.com. And that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this stream like this, or whatever this is called, not a stream. I hope I did all right. Usually I have to pause while I'm doing it because I mess up so many times. So thanks for bearing with me. Keep reading, keep learning. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Gab. Support the show if you want to help. And I'm out. Thanks for listening. Take care.